number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, we're going to call it the Golden State Warrior Factor that's going on in the NBA right now. And you want to shine a spotlight on where this Golden State Factor is hitting a team the hardest? Look no further than the Cleveland Cavaliers. It has been all drama all year. And let's be honest, if the Golden State Warriors weren't running away with the NBA, or if San Antonio wasn't having such a good season, nobody would really be complaining, or nobody would really be focusing in on all the negativity surrounding a team that's 44-18, despite some up-and-down struggles during the season. Some of these losses by Cleveland could be written off as boredom, and people would just go on to accept them. But the reality is there's more going on in Cleveland because of the big, huge spotlight that's on Golden State. This Cleveland Cavaliers team, with LeBron James on it, is nothing outside winning a championship. That's it. There's no goal to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. There's no goal to get to the NBA Finals and just put on a good show. There's no goal to win, 50 games and see what happens. They are built to win a title at a time where a title is being harder and harder to win because of what's going on in Oakland. So when LeBron James talks about a unready team for the playoffs because they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, and he sends out cryptic tweets, and there seems to be excuses one after another coming from the organization, that's all drama and that's all negativity. Is there a lot to like about this Cavaliers team? Sure. Because when you look at where Cleveland is in the Eastern Conference, in the end, they still have LeBron James. In the end, they still have Kyrie Irving. In the end, they still have Kevin Love. They still are a team that's going to be a tough out in a seven-game series. So get them into the finals, and then whatever happens after that is whatever happens. But right now, the path to that goal doesn't seem to be there for Cleveland because they don't look good. The Memphis Grizzlies were down four starters on Monday and yet beat Cleveland. And LeBron is not happy. Now, I wonder, since his arrival in Cleveland to run the show, how well he's running the show. LeBron continues to make all of these sort of decisions for the organization. And in return, the organization has made numerous, numerous roster moves. It's almost to a point where you look back and you say, all right, was going to Cleveland such a good idea? It probably still is. It was not just a pursuit of a championship. I think for LeBron, there was also a little bit of hope for redemption. I think it always bothered him that the city that was his hometown, quote unquote, had burned his jersey in the streets, had booed him unmercifully when he arrived in town. I think those things bothered him. I think wanting to go back to Cleveland was redemption, but also being able to run a team the way he wants. But I think in the end, what Cleveland needs, and I think LeBron needs this, is a strong presence in the front office. LeBron can't do everything, and he shouldn't do everything. And he does need somebody to tell him no. But as long as he has an option to get out of that team and leave again, even though it would be damaging, he will always hold the cards. The Cavaliers' hold on LeBron James is only as tight as LeBron James will let it. The only thing the Cavaliers have to keep LeBron in Cleveland for the long term, for the rest of his career, is his belief in the city, his desire to win a championship in that city, and his desire to stay home. But those things are fleeting. Now, do I think he runs off and leaves Cleveland a second time? No, because I don't think he can. If it bothered him the first time, he's got to really make sure he's okay with it a second time. And that may be too much. But as long as he has the option to leave, the Cavaliers better do everything he wants. But where can a strong presence in the front office step in and sort of calm this all down? Maybe changing coaches was the right thing. They weren't responding to David Blatt, and in the end, you got to bring a coach you respond to. But Tyronn Lue is not putting himself together a stellar record. And for all the reasons that I mentioned earlier, the Cavaliers seem to come up with excuse after excuse after excuse. I'll give you a perfect example. Monday night, and by the way, when an athlete says, I don't want to use this as an excuse, and then brings you the excuse, he's using it as an excuse. Just because you say you don't want to use it as an excuse doesn't mean it's not an excuse. But Kyrie Irving said he had prepared for Mike Conley, and it threw him off that Mike Conley wasn't in the game. Oh, I don't want to use that as an excuse. Then who cares? This is a team that is just not together right now. Now, will it all matter in the end? They're a team that turns on the Jets in the playoffs. We'll see. Maybe they are really bored. Maybe the competition in the East is just not challenging enough. I don't know. But LeBron says the team's not ready for the playoffs. And when he means they're not ready for the playoffs, what he means is they're not ready to go to the finals. Because it's not a matter of getting through rounds one or two or three. It's getting there and putting up a fight against possibly the Golden State Warriors again, who look better again. And the Cavs have to get there with a healthy unit and a team that's on the same page and a team that's together. And I don't necessarily see it. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. The telephone number to join us on the show tonight. If you'd like to join us, you can do that. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Lang Green will join us, our good friend from BasketballInsiders.com. We'll talk a little NBA coming up at the bottom of the hour. I've always liked talking to Lang. Adam and I were talking about this before the show. He's like always enthusiastic to come on. And he's always got some good insight. And it's been really difficult this year to sort of go around the NBA. We do this once a week. We try to give you an update of what's going on in the league, the storylines in the league. And yeah, we talk about Golden State, of course, because they lead. But missing this year is the wide array, you know, wide array of different teams that can be competitive. And right now it's down to three, maybe four with Oklahoma City. But we don't have a, what's wrong with Houston? What's wrong with Dallas? Because right now, everybody's got something wrong with them, except for just a couple of teams near the top.
You kind of ask the same four questions every week, and yeah, then maybe throw in a Kobe question, or a, you know, like tonight, you talk about D'Angelo Russell. You know,
boy, I'll tell you right now, that Laker team is the future, I hope, turns around quickly. I'm not a Laker fan. I just like it when the Lakers are good. Mm-hmm. I just think it's better for the league when the Lakers are good. And that team is starting to see its young players develop nicely.
Yeah, for Russell,
I don't know how long it's going to take.
Russell and Randall, if those two can continue to do what they're doing, it's a very bright future. And who knows, they're going to be towards the top of this draft. If they can manage to get one and get Ben Simmons and, you know, get him to figure out his game 100%. That's a nice trio you got there.
That is a really nice trio. Good moving forward. They beat Orlando tonight, and they scored 107 points. And Russell, Randall, and Clarkson combined for like 75 of those points.
Yeah, Russell has averaged, what, 22, 23 over his last, you know, six, seven games? Played really well.
And, you know, Kobe didn't play tonight, so he didn't get to eat up all the shots.
Right.
Well, he goes on his tour, tries to close out that career. But, I mean, looking ahead, I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take. Hopefully in a couple of years, because I think the Lakers being good is good for the NBA. But there's a bright future there, really bright future.
And let's also remember they're going to have a lot of money next year.
Yep, that's right.
Or this offseason to spend. They're going to chase Durant, you know, so that there's a possibility he could end up there.
And I've been saying this for a while. I've been thinking, look, be careful of the Kobe farewell tour. While you do want Kobe out there doing his thing, saying goodbye on the road to all these people that are going to pay big money to see him one final time, and the Laker fans are going to buy those last couple of tickets for the last couple of home games, you certainly do not want that. But also give potential free agents a reason to want to go to a rebuilding Laker team. The Lakers are an iconic franchise, and they're in Los Angeles. That's a selling point in and of itself. But guys want to win now, or at least want to be on a path to win. If you can go after some key free agents that know they're going to be a big, big part of the rebirth of the Los Angeles Lakers, that's a huge selling point. And if you're showcasing these three young talent plus a draft pick, yeah, you really could have a prime destination. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here at Yahoo Sports Radio. Talking a little NBA with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Look, would I be worried if I was a Cavs fan? Maybe. It's got to be so, I don't want to say depressing, because Cleveland, I mean, right? I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. It's got to be demoralizing in a way to finally get LeBron back, only to watch, oh my God, Golden State is like a record-setting NBA franchise. It must kill you. Because on the one hand, you're saying, all right, we got LeBron, and who's going to be coming out of the West that we got to be careful of? LA Clippers, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. Oh, and then here comes Golden State. Boom. Now I got to worry about them. It's possible LeBron doesn't win a title. He doesn't bring it back. I remember July 2014. I remember when that story broke. I thought Cleveland's going to get a title. I can't imagine LeBron James going the rest of his career not getting a title. And now, I don't know. I got to think 1 year he's going to pull it off. We're talking about this with Peyton Manning. A lot of us in the media put a lot of emphasis on Super Bowl championships. You got to have a certain amount, or you don't necessarily have to have the most, but you can't have one if you're going to be in the larger conversation. And Manning's got all the numbers and records and all of that. He's definitely one of the best, but he's not the best, because people point to Tom Brady and they point to Joe Montana and they say, look, Super Bowls are where it's at. For a lot of people, the Super Bowl or the championship is the defining characteristic. Well, with LeBron, I never felt LeBron was after six. Like we saw Kobe go after six. Kobe wanted six so bad, because if you're going to compare yourself with Michael Jordan, it starts and ends with getting six NBA titles. You don't necessarily have to go 6-0 like Michael Jordan. But you better get six, because that seemed to be the criteria everybody was focused on. And I said after he left Miami to go to Cleveland that it was no longer about getting six. I don't think LeBron ever was a guy that was focused on getting six. I think LeBron right now needs one, and that's it. And that is that one in Cleveland. You already got two in Miami. That's cool. Ride with that. That was a good segment of your career. Four NBA finals, two championships. Great. But he was looking for one, and only one. If it comes with more, that's gravy. But that whole feeling of LeBron going back to Cleveland was more about getting that city a title, getting that city a championship. The Browns couldn't do it. The Indians aren't doing it. Cleveland Cavaliers could do it, and LeBron was going to be the catalyst to do that. Got him close last year, really. I mean, if you start thinking about what they did in the finals last year, it is pretty amazing. Because a lot of us are so in awe of what Golden State is as a team and what they are night in and night out, except when they fall asleep against the LA Lakers. But what Cleveland did in that series, I mean, Adam, you and I, there was a night, remember when Matthew Dellavedova went off and we were like, I think Cleveland could pull this off?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they disappeared.
Crazy night, yeah.
Yeah, that crazy night was a game, I think it was game three.
Three or four? Three, I'm pretty sure.
And LeBron had won game two out in Oakland, with putting on a fantastic show. So it was pretty remarkable without Kyrie Irving what they were able to do in that finals. I just don't think this team is capable of doing that again. I just right now they look completely out of sorts. I don't think they know who, you know, I don't think LeBron is that far off talking about where they are. And maybe it's talk. Maybe it's just coach LeBron talking or GM LeBron talking. But that seems to be where the Cavaliers are right now. They seem to be a disarrayed top seed in the Eastern Conference.
That dissension talk between LeBron and Kyrie is getting louder and louder every day.
And look, here's the thing about Kyrie. People want to say, like, well, you know, he's got his big three. He doesn't really have his big three like he had it in Miami. It's not the same thing. Think about how the Miami Heat were put together with LeBron. Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, and Chris Bosh were all on the same page before the deal went down. Wade sort of got the ball rolling. LeBron got the ball rolling, got Chris Bosh involved, and the three conspired to put this all together. Where was Kyrie in the discussion at all about LeBron going back to Cleveland? Nowhere. He had just signed with the Cavaliers thinking this is his team. He signed his big deal with the Cavaliers. That's his team. Now, of course you welcome in LeBron. Of course. You're now getting the best player in the league. That's fine. But it doesn't mean you're on board in the melding of egos and thoughts and direction and all of that. Now, same with Kevin Love. I mean, was there a put together? Now, did Kyrie and LeBron sit together and try to figure out how to get Kevin Love in the mix, their new buddy? With Miami, it was like three friends got together and orchestrated this, let's all play together and win titles in South Beach. In Cleveland, it was more of a general manager approach. LeBron is like, I'm going back. And Kyrie's just going to have to live with it. And we're going to trade for Kevin Love, and hopefully he'll be on board. That's two totally different scenarios. So while you can call it the big three in Cleveland, and you should, they're three big players, big personalities, you, all of that, it's not the same scenario that we saw in South Beach. Those were all welcoming in the duo of Chris Bosh and LeBron James to a team that was Dwayne Wade's. That later became LeBron's. Kyrie thought, this is my team. And then LeBron came and was like, well, not really, but let's see if we can make this work. And they almost did. They were two games away from winning the NBA Finals last year.
Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk, you know, again today mentioned something about people close to LeBron are saying he could leave Cleveland again. But then he also tweeted right after it, that he thinks this is more of a power play for LeBron to get more power in the organization. But I question, what else does he need? Like, he's got all the power.
He has all the power.
There's no more power in that organization besides owning the whole team.
Yeah, I said this at the start. They have no leverage. The Cavaliers have no leverage.
That's what I was trying to say today. You can't say one thing and then follow it up with that because it makes no sense.
Right. You have the Cavaliers have all they have is LeBron's desire to be here.
Right.
That's all they have. So when they go when that organization sits around, when Dan Gilbert sits around with his staff and they talk about LeBron, they are putting faith that LeBron really does want to finish his career there and win a title there.
Yeah, they're hoping to.
That's it. That's all they have.
Whatever God they pray to, he's
staying. That's all they have. That is it. And it's, you know, so it's not like with the Knicks and Carmelo where it's like, you know, you signed a contract, so you got to stick around
exactly.
Even if you hate it here. They don't have that. LeBron, and LeBron, to his credit, should never, ever, ever sign a deal that is longer than a year.
No.
Ever. Ever, because he gets to run everything based on that. And but here's the thing: would LeBron risk the scrutiny? Would LeBron risk the scrutiny of the public if he left again? There's a part of me that says no, but then there's a part of me that says he would to say I've had enough.
Yes, yeah, I could definitely see it. If the dissension is bad enough and Kyrie's stuck there. Yeah,
yeah. If he knows he can't win there. And it's just not working, and he's wasting time. I could see him go, you know what? I gave it my best. I'm out of here. Goodbye. Small percent, but it's still not zero.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight. All right, the NBA, let's get a rundown of the association. A lot of interesting storylines going around the league. Lang Green joins us, basketballinsiders.com. How are you, my friend?
My man, Tony, what's going on?
All right, I got to ask you this. So Sunday, I'm driving around and I hear that the LA Lakers beat Golden State. Now, I can give a night off. I can give just a lapse. This is a long season. But did that loss showcase anything about where Golden State is and it occasionally can be on any given night?
I tell you what, man, I watched that game and I was just waiting for the run to come. You know, the inevitable, you know, 20-2 spurt that was going to, you know, push Golden State over the top, and it didn't come. Actually, the Lakers rested Kobe Bryant the whole fourth quarter and still won by double digits. It was just a sight to see. I don't know if you can read too much into this, Tony, but I will say that there's been a couple games this year where Golden State has got by, even though they come out sleepwalking, and this is a wake-up call that they potentially needed. Hey, listen, you're playing the Lakers. You've handled them pretty easily all season long, and they just came out flat, no energy, and they didn't, you know, respond to the uppercut that the Lakers gave them early. I don't know if you could read too much into it. They handled business the next night against Orlando, even though they looked sloppy, turning the ball over 20-plus times in the process. I think this is just, we're approaching the dog days of the NBA season, and I think you're really just seeing Golden State now just trying to find inspiration somewhere down the line.
From that game, if I'm a Laker fan, am I excited about where the future is going? Because D'Angelo Russell is starting to play really well.
You have to be. Early in the year, you saw Jahlil Okafor putting up big-time numbers in Philadelphia. And basically, Byron Scott keeping the training wheels on D'Angelo Russell all year. Head to toes, you didn't know. He didn't have a chance to make a lot of those mistakes. He was getting yanked early. You know, he went with Lou Williams, the veteran. A heavy dose of Jordan Clarkson, and really didn't let D'Angelo Russell shine. Saw the same thing with Julius Randle. He played, head coach Brian Scott played Larry Nance Jr. a lot, started him a lot in the middle of the year. But now he's letting his young guys play. And some people say he should have been doing this from the start, but I think there is a beauty in the struggle. And sometimes you can't hand it to certain guys up front. You have to make them work for it. And I think you see with D'Angelo Russell, once he got that starting spot, he says, I'm not giving that back up. And you've seen him respond, averaging over 20-plus points, I think, in his last five games. He's looked great.
Let's get to the Cleveland Cavaliers, because something we've been talking about is there seems to be a lot of drama, and this may be the Golden State factor, because Golden State is so good comparatively. Cleveland is having a year that you're just not quite sure if they're going to win an NBA Finals. Is there pressure there? Is there problems there? Is what LeBron is saying about his team, is that real stuff to be concerned about?
I think you really have to look at Cleveland and say, all right, in the Eastern Conference, you can basically pencil them in. Unless something happens, you know, unless LeBron James has to miss a full series, I think you can pencil in Cleveland to the Eastern Conference Finals at the very least. I don't think they're going to go through many wars to get back to the finals, depending who they meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think one of the things that you have to look at Cleveland now is some of the inconsistency. We just talked about Golden State sleepwalking. What about the Cavaliers losing the other night to the Memphis Grizzlies, who basically sat their entire team and basically fall down in double digits at halftime and lose that game against the Memphis Grizzlies on their home court? That's an embarrassing effort. And it's not the first time where the Cavaliers have lost to a team they should have beat under Tyronn Lue. And I think those are the kind of things that you need to look at. Because, listen, teams at the top, talent is basically going to overwhelm and carry the day. But when you start looking at those type of games, those are the type of games that a head coach has to be able to pull out by motivating his guys. And Tyronn Lue, in a couple instances already, hasn't gotten it done.
From LeBron's standpoint, Lang, do you see a guy that, while he likes to control a lot of things, does he need a strong presence, a Pat Riley-like, in his organization? Does he need that kind of presence in the front office?
Until it's valid, because until you see LeBron James win without that type of strong character in the leadership position, then it's right to question it. You know, his first run in Cleveland, we all know the stories about how he basically was running roughshod in that organization. He goes to Miami, tries the same thing there. Pat Riley says, hey, knock it off. It's not going to happen. We have an infrastructure in place. We got the Miami Mafia. We're handling things our way. Goes to 4 straight NBA Finals, wins 2, all right? Goes back to Cleveland. They get back to the finals. Things kind of, you know, broke down last year with the injury. So you're trying to figure out how, you know, how things are going. But this year in particular, I'm really looking at LeBron James because, listen, there's no excuses. You got a healthy unit. You got a guy in Tyronn Lue who the rumors say you were lobbying for as a guy that you wanted to coach. You got guys like Tristan Thompson, J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert. You got these guys paid. Hey, listen, it's time to produce now. And it's valid to say, you know, maybe LeBron James needs a stronger presence next to him in the locker room because there's always been reports of how LeBron doesn't want to be bad cop, how he prefers not to lead by being very vocal or chastising his teammates.
We talked about the Golden State Warrior effect and how that affects Cleveland. The San Antonio Spurs are quietly having one of the best seasons in franchise history. And again, because of Golden State, nobody seems to be abuzz about San Antonio. Should we be paying more attention to San Antonio's chances, even though Golden State's getting all the press?
Hey, we should have been paying more attention to San Antonio for the past decade. But yeah. Somehow, some way, you know, the Spurs this time of year are always under the radar. And a lot of that's because Popovich isn't playing guys 35 to 38 minutes. You know, guys are playing mid-20s. The guys aren't putting up, you know, big box scores. I think LaMarcus Aldridge had 29 tonight or something like that. But for the most part, these guys are not putting up crazy box score numbers. So they're not leading SportsCenter. They're not going to be talked about around the cooler with, hey, did you see, you know, Tony Parker's 40-point game? No. Those games are past. They're just one of those teams that's not going to get a lot of headlines. But I'm telling you, they are going to be a very, very tough out come the playoffs, like they are every year. And, you know, this year I think we're going to learn a lot about the Golden State Warriors because the path to the finals is going to have to go through San Antonio for the Warriors. And I think, you know, that's what great teams want. Great teams want to silence any doubters. Last year, Golden State didn't have to go through the Clippers, who basically self-destructed against the Rockets. They didn't have to go through the defending champion San Antonio Spurs, who didn't get the job done in the first round. And for a lot of reasons, and it's not their fault, but the Golden State Warriors are basically being penalized because of those two aspects. And then they get to the finals, and no Kyrie Irving, no Kevin Love against a Cleveland Cavaliers team that just didn't have a supporting cast around LeBron James. This year, if the injury situation holds up, this is a prove yourself again type of year for the Warriors.
Great point. Lang Green, Basketball Insiders on the NBA. You know, you mentioned box scores. I feel like with San Antonio, I know you shorten your bench during the playoffs, but they have like the biggest box score of any team. Every time I check them, I feel like how many players do the Spurs have? There's like 15 guys that are scoring points every night for the Spurs.
Does it? I mean, listen, every given night, I mean, you know, they have Kyle Anderson coming off the bench,
right.
Jonathan Simmons. You know, right now you got Kevin Martin basically in the holding pattern. You know, Andre Miller is a veteran. He's going to be able to, you know, make a couple plays in the playoffs. Boris Diaw is a threat with his passing. I thought his career was over years ago when he was just kind of, you know, wasting away with Charlotte. You know, re-energized his career. You got David West, a former All-Star. Guy gives up $12 million to go down to the Spurs on a vet minimum deal, basically chasing a ring. Hey, this team is, you know, potent. We didn't even talk about, you know, Manu Ginobili or Patty Mills yet. Listen, the Spurs are a deep, deep unit. And come playoff time, Golden State, I mean, they're going to have to dig deep in their tank to defend their title. And it's, as a fan, this is what you want to see. You just hope that injuries don't sneak up. And you hope that, hey, teams don't sleepwalk and we get the matchups that we want to see.
Always good talking to you, my friend. Lang Green, BasketballInsiders.com. Hope to catch up with you soon.
Man, listen, it's always great talking to you, Tony, for the next time.
All right, coming up next, the pressure to win. We saw it in Denver with Peyton Manning, LeBron in Cleveland. It can motivate, can it destroy? We'll explore that coming up next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks, Lane Green from basketballinsiders.com on giving us a little update on where we are with the association. All right, I have a Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. If you haven't liked it, we'd urge you to like it. Say hi. I got an interesting message on the Facebook page to give out a shout-out. So I'm going to give out a shout-out to Lee Anthony Beat and the Beat family. They are from Birmingham, England. I was a little shocked, Adam, that somebody from England was listening to our little radio show. And I even asked him if he had the right radio show.
Yeah, that's amazing that he got listeners that far away.
Is there a Tony D that does like a soccer podcast that he likes? And he's just like, wait a minute, hold on. There's a guy like lamenting the LeBron James situation. I don't really know. But no, he says he's got the right show. He listens every night. So we want to give Lee Anthony Beat in England a big hello from all of us here at Tony D Radio Show at Yahoo Sports Radio. So there you go. If you'd like a shout out too, you know, I guess I could be like Willard Scott.
Yeah,
remember when Willard Scott used to do all the birthdays? Jeannie Davenport out of Iowa. She's a good-looking lady. She's 102 today.
Well, look at it this way. We are drive time, morning drive time in England.
That's right.
We start at 6 a.m.
That's right. That is a good point. So in England, if you happen to catch us on however you catch us, as you drive to work, you can hear me, you know, complain about this or complain about that.
Pass it along to other people. Maybe we can become the number one American sports show in England.
That would be great.
Yes.
That would be great. And then we could go over there and we could meet people. And
now we don't talk soccer.
We won't talk soccer,
Lee. Little U.S. women's soccer. It's kind of all we've talked about.
I'm not breaking Manchester United.
No, I can't even follow that stuff. I'm not
unless I get a directive from the bosses that are like, your numbers in England are like through the roof. No one in America seems to be wanting to listen to you, but everybody in England seems to be a... really would appreciate it if you could break down Liverpool.
But hey, if they're listening now, that means that they don't really care. We don't talk about soccer.
You know what? And I got to be careful when I rip London. I rip London with when it comes to this NFL thing. And I go, oh, London ain't going to get a team. Well, what if we build up a strong fan base in England? And then I'm going to be like, well, here's the anti-London NFL guy that doesn't think the NFL is coming. And I don't think the NFL is coming.
We could hit up some NFL games over there.
Yeah. You know? Or go to the British Open and eat some weird food.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
I always wanted to go to the British Open. When I was young, when I was a kid learning to play golf, and I started getting into it, and I was like, all right, now I'm going to watch golf on TV. I had never watched golf on TV until I played. I just never thought it was interesting. And then as I was playing, I was like, okay, now I now want to watch it. I remember watching the British Open, and it would be like 95 degrees where I lived in New Hampshire, and in England they were wearing winter hats, coats, and gloves. And I was like, wow, are they playing that tournament in Antarctica? Why is it so cold in England in July? It would be freezing. It'd be the wind coming off the ocean. But I thought it was really cool. I thought British Open links golf was great. So I always wanted to go.
Birmingham, England is the, let me see here, it's a population of 1 million people, 1.1 million.
All right.
It's the largest and most populous British city outside of London.
Okay. All right. So outside of London, it's the most popular city the biggest city outside of London.
Correct.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you, Lee Anthony Beat. Look at what we just did for this guy. He wanted a shout out and then we told everybody about where he lives.
Right.
We kind of gave him like a little, some props. It's where, if we get somebody who says, give me a shout out, I'm from Dothan, Alabama, I guess we'll have to do the same thing.
I mean,
Dothan, Alabama.
I feel like a remote in Birmingham, England. I feel like that should be in our very near future.
Very near future.
maybe we can talk about the NBA finals Birmingham, England.
Right. That's right. From Birmingham, England. All right, I mentioned earlier, I was talking about LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I want to make this a larger subject, because one of the things about the conversation that we're having about the Cleveland Cavaliers is this sort of pressure to win. This sort of, there are certain teams, and you know who they are, that don't have anything else. They can't quantify any success unless it's championship, and that's it. It was like that with the Denver Broncos when they signed Peyton Manning. The Broncos certainly were getting one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but boy, it was getting frustrating in Denver when Manning would have these playoff exits or getting throttled in the Super Bowl and not coming home with any hardware. Remember, he lost to Baltimore, he lost to Indianapolis, and then he lost, you know, in between he had lost that Super Bowl to Seattle. There is always this defining, well, it's championship or bust. The New York Yankees have it. It's one of the reasons they sign everybody to more money than they're worth. It's why they went and grabbed Alex Rodriguez and tried to keep him away from going to Boston. It's why they got Jacoby Ellsbury. It's why they picked up all these other Mark Teixeira, and the list goes on and on. There's always a, we have to win now. Now, nothing short of a championship, and that's it. Now, people always tell me that the goal of an organization is to win titles. The business goal of an organization is not to win titles. The business goal is just to make a profit, and you can make a profit by not winning championships. You just keep the hope going, and you'll sell the merchandise and the tickets and all that other stuff. Coaches want to win titles. Players want to win titles. But if you're in the front office and you're running the business, the everything under my business umbrella, the dollars and cents of running a sports team, the goal is just to be competitive enough to continue to sell what you have. But as far as players and coaches and ownership sometimes go, this pressure to win now leads to things that we're seeing in Cleveland, where the disunity is magnified because LeBron doesn't have any other chance. There's nothing else. There's no other goal. Go to an NBA Finals? Heck, he's done that twice in Cleveland. Win a championship? He's yet to do that. Get us to the playoffs? Oh my God, that's a given. It can lead to some destructive stuff, as we're starting to see with the Cavaliers. Yahoo Sports Radio.